The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
We're talking with curators of a new exhibition at the Museum of Vancouver. It's on the history of the Chinese-Canadian community, and it looks at resilience, racism, and resistance over a century, not only in Vancouver, but across British Columbia. It's a 4,000-foot expansion from an exhibition that was in Chinatown over the previous few months, and we talked today to two of the co-curators of A Seat at the Table, Chinese Immigration and British Columbia. It opens on Thursday at Museum of Vancouver, the former site of the Squamish Nation's Sanaq Village. And for those who are Indigenous, you can access the museum for free. It's open every day, Thursday through Sunday, from 10 to 4. Here are co-curators of the exhibit, Denise Fong and Vivian Gosselin. Find out more at museumofvancouver.ca.
Thank you so much for joining me here on The Pulse on Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so let's start off. Tell me about how this exhibition came to be. What was kind of the impetus for saying this is an exhibit that is needed right now at this time in Vancouver?
I always say exhibitions are at the convergence of many ideas. And so it started a few years ago. We've been talking about creating, generating more inclusive interpretations of the past and thinking about city history. And of course, this project is way beyond Vancouver. It's British Columbia and it's Canadian. It's global, so it's about, you know, the Chinese diaspora in BC, but so it's an opportunity for us to, as a museum, to reframe the history of the city and connecting the dots between how the city fits in the larger picture of the provincial history, but also a global look at how diasporas inform kind of, you know, the making of a place. So in terms of convergence, there was a real appetite at the provincial level for coming up with some kind of tangible action after the 2014 apology in the city. It was 2018. 2019, there was an announcement by Premier Horgan that there would be a Chinese Canadian museum. So the three of us, Denise, Henry, and I, had already started planning the exhibition, and it was just kind of the push that we needed to increase the scope of the project. So we built together an advisory committee and pulled our respective networks to create a multi-sited exhibition. So I don't know if you had the opportunity to see the first iteration, so I see that a table in Chinatown, but those are two sister exhibitions, same title.
That was the one on Pender Street months ago?
At the Hansing Building.
Denise, could you talk about what this exhibition means to you?
Well, for someone who's been working in the field of research on Chinese Canadian history for a number of years now, I think it's been really a great opportunity for UBC to work with MOV and to bring a lot of these stories into the public sphere. And the work we have here is wonderful because there's a lot of very engaging photo displays, interactive apps, projections, a lot of really great immersive technologies that have been introduced to tell these stories and bringing this history to life. And a lot of these people that we've interviewed have been pillars in Vancouver's Chinatown or been in different parts of Chinese-Canadian communities in BC. And unfortunately, some of the people that we interviewed actually have passed away already. So it's also a very important part of documenting this history and making sure that their stories, their experiences, and their voices are kept and they're being publicized. And the other aspect, too, is with this exhibition, we spent a lot of time thinking about the idea of what is the Chinese Canadian community. And it really is thinking about the experiences of earlier waves of Chinese Canadians, but also thinking about more recent waves of immigrants that came in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s onwards. And so many of these families that have settled in different parts of BC, starting their own family businesses, raising families in Canada, what has that experience been like for them? And so this exhibition really is able to bring all of this together by really being able to weave these narratives of different family experiences.
It's so powerful to hear about, you know, recording some of these stories of people who have sadly passed. And I know that we've lost a few really important pillars in the community who have direct historical memories of, for instance, serving in war at a time when their rights weren't recognized, or people who may have been part of benevolent associations in like the 20s or 30s that were so foundational to our city.
That's right. And part of the exhibition addresses the topic of racism. And then there we also feature stories about Chinese Canadian veterans. Especially what we have done in this exhibition is collaborate with the Center for Digital Media. So they have a wonderful team of students, designers, artists, and programmers to help create this augmented reality app that tells the story of First World War veteran Li Tanlui and about his experience of trying to serve and enlist in the army but being rejected in his hometown in Kamloops. And he had to ride his horse all the way to Alberta to enlist in the army. So there are these kinds of stories that we want to bring to life through this space, while also giving space for people as they come to reflect on these stories from their probably their own experiences or their own families, and to share them with us in this space as well.
Vivian mentioned the appetite for such an exhibition now, and that's a good transition to the topic. The seat at the table kind of has a kind of focus around food and sharing community through food. Talk about that as the kind of grounding metaphor.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right that food culture, restaurant culture is kind of the, has been helpful in organizing conceptually and in terms of design, like the whole space. And because there's a lot of content, right? So how do you stage that in space in ways that make sense and that's palatable and fun? At the same time as meaningful. And so as you enter, right from the get-go, you see these references from like the artifacts that we selected, for example, the Kiefer Bakery sign that was acquired by MOV a few years ago. Large images of, Hollywood Cafe staff in the 40s, and that's based in Prince Rupert. So again, like we, right from the get-go, we're also trying to convey this is not a Vancouver-centric exhibition. It's about what took place throughout the province. So again, diversity of experiences, like many generations, but also many locations throughout the province, because often people think of the Lower Mainland being the hub. And yes, right now it is the kind of the bulk of the Chinese Canadian community, maybe here, but it historically it wasn't at all. In fact, Vancouver was just a place to stop, and then to go into different regions. So food, takes us through. It's a nice portal to. Or launchpad to talk about a sensitive issue. There's something to say also about food as a place of exchange, where immigrant culture transform a place, but also and in reverse, they are transformed by the place. Food becomes this catalyst for these important conversations about how people transform a place, bring with them traditions, but also create new ones, and is a place of exchange. And I am sure, everyone, Chinese and non-Chinese Canadians, will be able to relate to, going into a Chinese diner and eating out and there, or going to dim sum. And so it kind of it's a way of opening up conversations and hopefully making sure that people can find themselves, right? Either they're from other immigrant communities, Indigenous,
yeah, so a place of exchange.
Denise, can you tell me about the kind of what you connected with around the food imagery and kind of layout of this?
We had a team of students from UBC do a series of interviews with different Chinese Canadian members of community. Some of them are business owners. And so, for instance, we talked to a family that ran one of the Lower Mainland's oldest bubble tea shops. They've been around for now it's probably 26 years they've been in business. So they're one of the earliest businesses to bring bubble tea to Vancouver. And so it's been really interesting to see how some of these more recent immigrant stories are now becoming part of this framework of how we understand Chinese Canadian history. And then we also talked to restaurants in Chinatown. For instance, we did an interview with Jade Dynasty and talked to the owner about just some of her challenges of running business in Chinatown, especially with the many changes that have been happening in the community and more recently with COVID, some of that, how it's impacted their business. But also, it's very much a people story in that we're able to also see the resilience of the business owners in trying to keep their businesses going and getting support from their community, like their customers and their landlords, to help them through this difficult period. So a lot of these stories really speak to immigrant experiences and just, yeah, from past to present. And we also have interviews like older, like Ovaltine Cafe, talking to the previous owner, Justice Randall Wong. He was the son of the previous owner of Ovaltine, and talking about the kind of histories of their cafe and what it's meant for him growing up in that family restaurant business. And so there's a lot of these stories are tied to family memories. And so we want to, in this space, be able to make those connections through the topic of food.
I know you mentioned kind of the impact of COVID on a lot of restaurants. I was just looking back over some of my reporting in the last, 8 months, and realized that my first story that I ever mentioned COVID in was in early February. And it was looking at how the Chinese restaurant businesses were really struggling because of bookings. And so it's interesting, it very much is timely. The other aspect that kind of connected with reading about the exhibition was just how difficult it must be for the community to deal with the increase in overt racism during this period. And that's something that we've reported here on a lot. I guess it has so many echoes through history that probably come out in this exhibition.
Yeah. Yeah. What we were saying is we did, start planning many years ago, but it just became more apparent how much we needed a place to think through these ideas. Where is that? Like, whenever there's something difficult, economic uncertainty, why does racism keep coming back? And so we saw that with the defacing of, public places in Chinatown, for example, and, historically. And so the exhibition and the CCM, the Chinese Canadian Museum, are all part of those actions where we're talking about or thinking about in an optic of a reparation and kind of recognizing past wrongs and thinking about present and future in ways that we can not only just prevent but create a kind of a healthier, more just society. And I think the exhibition is not just something that is done. It's a mean to get us through this. So in the process, this exhibition, like Denise mentioned, involved hundreds of people that saw the museum being active and wanting to, create new narratives about the collectivity. Like, so Vancouver history, the province of BC, we have to rethink about how we present ourselves, and in recognizing a past wrong, I think we get to know ourselves much better, and I think it makes I'm just thinking about in terms of collectively how we can become a more resilient community by fighting together, like, and thinking through those ideas. So, for example, we have sections in the exhibition where after going through what we called Wait to Be Seated. So there's a whole section, beautiful kind of lanterns glowing, and on each side of those beautiful lanterns are pretty nasty text. So basically official documents from the 1800s up to the 50s and 60s, that 50s or actually earlier 40s, I should say, that that speaks to the kind of systemic racism at the civic, provincial, and federal level. And when people are accessing this, right, and as well as quotes from today, right, like you didn't want to make this just as, oh, racism is something of the past, but it's still present. People live with everyday racism and how it affects them. So as we exit the area, we have these what we call chip trails, like these, you can think, if you've worked in a restaurant, like I have done, like you write, you know, your order on a pad and you put it on those rails for the cook to take it. And so we have these pads where people can write, and we're asked these questions, you know, how do we build kind of communities? How have you experienced everyday racism? What's our responsibility in creating these more socially just communities? So we're bringing it back to today, the future, and our individual role in perpetuating or stopping racism. And we hope people, we know that people will participate and hopefully, you know, kind of advance that conversation.
Thank you. I want to throw the mic over to Denise for last question, just about it. All of these stories told from people's perspectives just also remind me of so much resilience in the face of this racism, both historically and presently, people supporting each other, people advocating, people helping each other rebuild. That really moves me quite a lot.
Yeah, and like Vivian was saying, in that zone where we talk about the historical racism, we also have images or headlines as a graphic display that really point to the activism from the Chinese Canadian community from early like 60s, 70s, but all the way to the present. And I want to highlight the work of many organizations in Chinatown right now that are very active in supporting community needs, especially during COVID, like Hua Foundation, Yarrow Intergenerational Society, and Youth Collaborative for Chinatown, and many other organizations who have come together and organized different initiatives. For instance, like delivering fresh vegetables and produce to seniors who are living alone or aren't able to go out because of COVID restrictions. And so you see a lot of youth that are very active in the community today who are still thinking about ways to support those communities that are marginalized or are in more vulnerable positions, and providing the care and support they need, especially now with many seniors being isolated. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a chance for us to really recognize also some of the work that's been going on in the recent years with many youth organizing in the Chinatown community.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for your time today and for your time putting this exhibition together.
Okay. Well, thank you, David.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that was Denise Fong and Vivian Gosselin, co-curators of the Museum of Vancouver's new exhibition, A Seat at the Table, Chinese Immigration and BC. Find out more at museumofvancouver.ca. It opens on Thursday and runs Thursday through Sundays. Entrance is free for people who identify as Indigenous.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.